for today, waking up, I give the glory to the Lord. Is that some Christian Horizons people I hear back there? Welcome, brothers. Glad to hear you and see you here. Say hello to our friends there if you can today. I just want to say that if you're sitting here today and you're thinking to yourself, there's somewhere else I could be or should be or maybe want to be, well, you made the right choice today, because we serve and worship a good, good God. And He deserves a bit of our time. So I'd just like to open some prayer here and some praise. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity. I am so ill-equipped and unqualified to be up here, but once again, you are a good God, and only you can do things like this. Here I am again, Lord. So I thank you and I praise you, Lord, and I'm just the messenger. I just pray that your word goes out, and the people that are ready to receive, Lord, will receive it. And it's your word, not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I thought this time of Christmas, it was appropriate to talk about gifts. We all go through this season of gift giving, and sometimes it's the gifts that overcome the actual reason why we have Christmas. And me and my wife often talk about Christmas, how even I can remember, celebrate it every year, and it's such a big event and such a big holiday, but we hear it in the music and never really understood what it was all about. I didn't understand, you know, we just accept it as part of our culture. It's a holiday. But the gift giving is a big part of it. And I want to tell you a story this morning. It's a story about a ring. And this is no ordinary ring. This is a very precious ring. It cost me 40 years ago, like walking 3 kilometers in the ditches of Ennismore collecting pop bottles to buy this ring. Because I used to collect pop bottles in the ditch and go down to Sullivan's store, and you'd come out, there's Mrs. Sullivan in the window, and you'd bring those pop bottles out, because everything was glass then, and people used to just throw the bottles in the ditch, and I'd get 5 cents a bottle. So if you were wanted to go buy your candy and stuff at Sullivan's store, you go through the ditches and, you know, you walk and walk and collect these bottles. You find mice in these bottles. Oh, yeah, it's interesting. So I'd go down to Sullivan's store, and I, you know, Mrs. Sullivan was always there. God bless her. And you'd put your bottles down, and she'd look out and count them, and then you come in, and she'd let you come behind the counter in those days and give you a bag. She wasn't counting at all. She would just, you know, every time it was a random thing. And once your bag was full enough, she'd say, "That's enough." And so you had that time to get what you want. But this one year, and I was probably my kid's age, Sakura's and Mana's age. I don't know exactly when. And I decided to buy my mother this ring. This little display of plastic rings that they had, because I thought, you know, man, these things are beautiful, and I'm going to buy one for my mother. It was the first time I actually bought something for somebody. And so even today, every time around a birthday or Christmas or any time that this idea of gifts, or we're talking, me and Michael, what we have to buy a gift for this birthday party or this and that, you know, I received many gifts when I was a child. Christmas was like, you know, we always got what we wanted. And but every time this word gifts comes up, it's the memory of this ring that comes back. Not what I had received, but that time that I gave. And, you know, my mother has lots of jewelry. Anybody that knows my mom, I know there's some here today. She's got lots of bling. And is proud to wear it. And But I know, and she's told me, that this plastic ring is the most precious thing that she has. And it's amazing. So I bought that ring and I gave it to her. And like I said, every time the idea, that is what comes back to me, is this memory of me getting that ring and giving it to her, and her wearing it and being proud. Like, I was so proud about that. So it taught me a very valuable lesson when I was young to, you know, the gift of giving. And it is important. And it says, it's always better to give than to receive. Now, sometimes we don't really acknowledge that, but it is true. That's evidence of it, because that memory is engraved in my brain closer than... I can remember a few things that I got as a kid, but I remember that more clear than anything else. And if you're sitting here today and you're born again, you know that the greatest gift you've ever received and the greatest gift you ever will receive is your salvation of eternal life. Amen. And the escape from God's righteous judgment on this world. You'll never receive a greater gift than that. And after you receive that gift, you don't need anything else. So if you could turn in your Bible to Romans 5, 6, chapter 5, verse 6. I'm going to read, and if I could just, you could just follow along. Romans 5, starting at verse 6. This is kind of deep into God's word this morning, so I'll read slowly. Romans 5, verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through the one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. I want you to count the word gift. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through the one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Amen. Amen. You see, our salvation is not based on what we may think in our minds. And it's not because we're Baptist here today. It's not because we're Pentecostal or Anglican or whatever other denomination we say that we may belong to. It's not based on our doctrine or in the fact that we show up here on Sundays. Our salvation is a person. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it's Him and Him alone. Without God the Father's gift to the world of Jesus Christ, we'd all be doomed today. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." And Romans 12:3 says, "God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So even your diehard atheist has faith. He's just suppressing it. These two verses clearly tell us that faith is not something that we do or a presence of mind that we develop, but that faith is a gift from God. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." So faith is a gift from God that we receive from hearing the word of Christ. It's all God's doing. It's all about His word. How at one moment, I speak about myself, how at one moment could I, that everything was so far from me, and I didn't believe it, in a moment it became so clear. In the blink of an eye, everything was true. And it was true to me only because it was His word. This book is a gift from God. And only God can do this. But it comes from His word. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And like all gifts we receive, they're free. We don't have to pay for it. We just need to open our arms wide and accept it. Like most people, I like to think of myself as a good person, but I'm not. But I thank God every day that Jesus was, and that by His sacrifice on the cross, He was the appeasement for my sins. And like all gifts, they're free, but they always cost someone something. Someone always has to pay. And we all acknowledge, we all know about the physical cost that Jesus paid on the cross. The spitting, the beating, the torture, flogging, finished on the cross, the crucifixion. But do you ever pause and think about the spiritual pain that Christ went through? We know and understand when we do something wrong, our consciences make us feel bad, feel guilty, right? Think of having the sins of the world on your conscience. And He knew new sin. He didn't even know what that felt like. He took the sins of the world. So we think of the physical pain, but the spiritual pain that Christ went through was much more. Or think about the sacrifice of God the Father watching His Son go through this. When He could have called down a legion of army of angels to wipe everybody out. You see, I believe that they couldn't kill Jesus. No normal person, man sitting here could have gone through that shock, the trauma, the blood loss. And Jesus Himself says, "No man can take my life. I give it willingly." And that just blows my mind. That He went to that. Like, It's overwhelming. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for this indescribable gift." So what do we do with this gift once we've received it? Do we treasure it? Do we lock it away for safekeeping? Do we hide it from people in a safety deposit box? Do we bring it out on special occasions? We need to wear it all the time. We need to wear this gift all the time. And aren't we expected to share this free, wonderful gift with others? Wasn't that Jesus' last instruction? Share to all nations and make disciples. I'd like to know when God changed that commandment. Because I don't think I've read in the Bible where he changed that. I'd like to give you an example of this from the Old Testament. If you can turn to 2 Kings 7:3 for me. 2 Kings 7:3. As we're turning there, I'm going to explain what was going on. You had the city of Samaria here. There's a group of people called the Armenians who had laid siege to this city. The Israelites were living in that city. And with a siege, what happens is they starve the people out instead of fighting them. So these things go on for years. If you read a few chapters in the chapter before this, the starvation was extreme. I mean, really extreme. They were making deals, mothers to, I don't want to get too gross here, but they were making deals about their children. Today we'll cook this one. You know, this is how extreme it was. The head of a donkey sold for 80 shekels of silver. Now, 80 shekels is about 2 pounds or 1 kilogram. So I looked up yesterday the price of silver. For today's, in Canadian dollars, a kilogram of silver is about $600. So $600 in those days. And that's for a donkey's head to eat, if they could find one. So there's people here in extreme starvation. So I'd like to start reading by 2 Kings 7:3. "Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die.'" Pretty dire consequences for these men. "At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Armenians. When they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us.' So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and clothes, and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, 'We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace, So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them. You see, here there's three men, they're on the verge of death. And they discover this wealth, this abundance, more than they could dream of. And it didn't take long for them to realize that they needed to share the wealth. And they went back to the city that had left them for dead. I just love the boldness that they went yelling out the report. And if we continue reading, the king was awoken in the night. Who are these lepers to wake the king? We need to take this as an example. And we need to be approaching the sieges and the starvation and the gates that are in people's lives. And we need to be yelling out the report of the good news in their life, of what God did for you. And just like the ring that I gave to my mom some 40 years ago, it's as precious to her today as it was then. Although it's plastic, it's priceless to her. And me and Ben went last year or so, we went to a speaker, Jim Cimbala, in Toronto. And there's something that he spoke there that said to me, and I'm going to repeat it, not verbatim, but that really it stayed with me. And it's the truth. And we all know that the truth is attacked today like anything else. But he said, when we stand before Jesus one day, what are you going to say to him? Are you going to pull out the papers out of your pockets and say, here's my tithing receipts? Here you see, I spoke about you on the 30th at Gilmore. It was all about you. I spoke. Or I read your book every year, cover to cover. Or I did this and I did that. No, the precious jewels and your crown, because you will get a crown, will be the people who you told the truth to and shared the most precious gift given to you. That's what Christ is going to want to see. That's how you're going to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. And I want that for you. I really do. And there's going to be, and we're all going to stand there. And we're living in a world, we have freedom right now in Canada. I can go down to the corner. I can go out on the street and hold up a placard. There's a lot of things you can do. We still have freedom in this country. But the time's coming where we won't have the chance. The night is coming. As Jesus says, work during the day because the night is coming. Well, you will not be able to do work. If you look at China today, if you know anything about what's going on there, people are being imprisoned, jailed, churches destroyed, Bibles burnt. Be naive to think that that's not coming here because Jesus promised it. I want to encourage you to work while it's still light, before it's too dark. Because if we're not willing to do it now, where are we going to be when the persecution comes? So I thank you for the word today. I hope it encourages you. And I just, maybe we can get out here early. I don't know what time it is. But to finish, I'd just like to invite a young lady up to help me sing a song. It's a song that means a lot to me personally. It spoke to my heart. And Remember, this is their first time we've ever played in front of a live audience, so go easy on us, please.
Back on. Just like this. You have to move that. Yeah.